Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Towards the end of his life, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to his good friend and his companion in the work of the Lord, a man by the name of Timothy. And in that letter, Paul encouraged him to live as a child of the grace of God that is found in Christ Jesus. To live with an attitude of thankfulness, because though we were lost in the depths of our sin, we have found mercy in Christ. We have not received what we have deserved, but instead, the Lord has reached down and saved us. So now we can lift up our voices in praise to Him. So, to those of us who believe, He is precious. Therefore, it is the desire of our heart to faithfully live and to do what is right in His sight so that we do not disgrace the name of our Savior. And by living in obedience to His Word, by living in obedience to Him, we will maintain a good conscience before God and before man, knowing that we are right before Him. But, Paul adds, there are some, even in the church, who live in shame, who live in disgrace, who have pushed aside the truth in order to continue to live in their lies. They deceive themselves. They deceive others. They lean on their own ability, they lean on their pride. And so Paul says, by doing this, they have abandoned the truth. And so he adds, they have made a shipwreck of their lives, like a ship that has been slammed against the rocks in a storm and torn to pieces. So they have torn their lives to pieces in regard to their faith. And if there was ever a man who knew about shipwrecks, it's the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, he said that three times while doing the work of the Lord, he was shipwrecked. And now here in Acts chapter 27, he is about to experience his fourth shipwreck. But this account of this voyage and of this shipwreck is also an account of how the Lord took Paul and the other people who were on that vessel through a storm, as he promised to do. He promised to bring them to safety, and that certainly should be an encouragement to us, shouldn't it? That the Lord is true to His Word. We can count on Him. He will bring us through the storms of our life, and He will bring us safely home to heaven. But this account of the shipwreck is also something else. This is a glimpse. We get a glimpse of the character of Paul. How even in the midst of this tremendous crisis, he showed calmness. He showed courage. He showed leadership. He showed confidence in the Lord. And that is also an example to us. And though Paul was a prisoner while he was on this ship, a prisoner who was on his way to Rome, so that he could stand trial for his faith. His desire was to do what was right before the Lord, what was right before God, and his conduct while he is aboard this ship comes shining through, doesn't it? Paul is a man of integrity. And this quality in Paul was recognized by the Roman military officer who had been entrusted with Paul as a prisoner. So when this ship docked for a time in the city of Sidon, this Roman centurion allowed Paul to go ashore and to visit his friends, confident that Paul would return to the ship. That doesn't sound like the normal practice for handling prisoners back then or today. In the short time that this Roman officer knew Paul, he recognized him as a man of honor, a testimony, which should be true of us who know Christ. We should be recognized as people of honor, as people of integrity. And you'll recall that when it was becoming too dangerous to sail on the Mediterranean because of the weather, who was it who stepped forward? It was Paul. He stepped forward and he advised them to stay in the port at Fair Havens for the winter in order to avoid the loss of the cargo, the loss of the ship, and perhaps even the loss of their lives. But when they ignored him, when they refused to follow his advice, and they found themselves in the midst of a terrifying and a life-threatening storm, when all their hope of surviving that storm was gone, once again, it was Paul who stepped forward. And he expressed his confidence in the word of God, that their lives would be spared and all of them would be brought safely to land. Do not fear, he said. I believe the word of God which he has given to me. But he added in verse 26, we must run aground on a certain island. But we are told when the 14th night had come, since they had left the safety of that harbor at Fair Havens, nothing had changed. We were still being driven about, it says in verse 27. Diaphero, we were being pushed along first this way and then that way, by the wind and by the waves while we were in the Adriatic Sea, Adria in Greek, in the center of the Mediterranean, somewhere between Greece and Italy. And so we're told that it was about midnight and the sailors began to surmise, hupanoeo, they began to suspect that they might be close to land. Maybe they heard the waves crashing on the rocks, but they were sure that they were approaching some land. Well, they decided to take some soundings, it says in verse 28. Balizo in Greek. They threw a weighted rope down into the sea, and they found it to be 20 fathoms, or guia in Greek, 20 times the length of their outstretched arms, which is about 6 feet. So what they found was the water was about 120 feet deep at that point. And a little further on, about a half hour later, they decided to take another sounding. And they found it to be 15 fathoms, or about 90 feet deep. They were fast approaching land. And it was dark. And they were in the middle of a raging storm. And they were about to hit land in a place that was unknown to them. So it says they were in fear. They were terrified. They were terrified. They didn't know if they would run aground somewhere on the rocks and be broken to pieces. So, we're told, to keep the bow, the front of the ship, pointed towards the shore, they cast out four anchors in the stern, in the back of the ship, and we are told they wished Yukomai, they prayed for daybreak so that they could see what was going on. But it appeared that they were heading for disaster. And so the crew panicked. You know you're in trouble when the crew panics. And so some of the sailors were trying to find a way to escape from the ship. So we are told they let down the ship's boat, the lifeboat, into the sea. On the pretense, it says in verse 30, prophasis, giving the appearance of intending to lay out more anchors, but this time from the bow of the ship. But unlike these sailors, Paul did not panic. He remained calm. So once again, he steps forward and he takes control of the situation. And in verse 31, it says that he said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men, these sailors remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved, sozo in Greek. You will perish if you do not obey the word of the Lord. He is in control of this situation. He is the one who will bring us through this danger if we follow his plan. The same warning that is true of our salvation. We can only be saved from the wrath that is to come if we follow the plan of God. If we come to Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, that is the way that we will be saved, the only way that we can be saved. Then it says in verse 32, the soldiers did not repeat the mistake that they had made before, the mistake of ignoring the advice of the Apostle Paul, because they knew that this man spoke for God. And so, not knowing what else to do, we're told they cut away the ropes of the ship's boat. They let the lifeboat drop into the sea. They let it fall away. I guess they weren't going to be able to use it even if they needed it. And until the day, we're told in verse 33, until the day was about to dawn, for the rest of that night, what did Paul do? Once again, he took the lead. And we are told he was encouraging everyone not to give up hope. As we are told in Isaiah chapter 55, where it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, so the Lord says, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire. It will succeed in the matter for which I have sent it. Trust in the Word of God. That's the message of Paul. Trust in His Word. Trust in God. Trust in the fact that we are in His hands. He is the one who is directing this ship. He is the one who is directing our lives. So, we're told, Paul called upon them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that we have been in this dangerous situation, and you have been constantly watching. Prosdokaho in Greek. You have been anxiously waiting. You have been hoping for relief and going without eating, having taken nothing this whole time. Therefore, you are in a physically weakened condition, and you might not be able to face the challenge that we are about to face. So I encourage you, parakaleo, I urge you to take some food. For this, he says, is for your preservation, soteria, for your deliverance, for your strength. So, Paul says, remember, verse 34, the Lord has promised that not even a hair of the head of any of you shall perish. Apolumi, not even a hair will be lost. We're all going to make it alive. And having said this, once again, Paul took command of the situation, and by his example, he reassured them when in verse 35, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God. And in the presence of all, he prayed like a father would do for his family. And he broke it and he began to eat. And we are told all of them were encouraged. And so what did they do? We are told that they themselves also took food and ate. And all of us, it says, in the ship, all of us, all 276 of us, Luke points out, when we had eaten enough and we had regained our strength, preparations began to beach the vessel, to lighten the ship. How? We're told by throwing out what was left of the wheat into the sea, so that the ship could ride higher in the water and so go further up onto the shore. And when the day came, verse 39 says, they could not recognize the land that was in front of them, but they did observe something. They observed a certain bay with a beach, and they resolved, buluo, they were determined to drive, to push the ship onto that beach. That was their plan. And so we're told they cast off the anchors in the stern of the ship, to eliminate that weight and drag upon the ship, and they left them in the sea, while at the same time they were loosening the ropes of the rudders so they could steer the vessel if possible, and then hoisting up the foresail, the mainsail, they were heading for the beach. Heading for shore. But once again, things did not go quite as well as they had planned. As we know, sometimes things do not go as well as we have hoped things would go. And we're told in verse 41, they struck a reef, a bank of sand and of clay, where two seas met, and they ran the vessel aground at about 3 fathoms, at about 18 feet deep. And the prow, the bow, of that ship, we are told, stuck fast in that sand and in that clay, and it says it remained immovable. It could not be shaken. But the stern continued to be pounded by the waves, and we're told it began to be broken up. Luo in Greek. It dissolved into pieces by the force, bia, by the violence of those waves, smashing the stern into pieces. It was time to abandon ship, wasn't it? And so, verse 42 says, the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, including Paul, so that none of them should swim away in the confusion and escape, because they would be held accountable for that escape, and then they would have to pay with their lives. But, it says, the centurion, who had come to trust, and he had come to respect the apostle Paul, was wanting to bring Paul safely through this shipwreck. So he kept them from their intention, and he commanded that those from among the soldiers and among the sailors and among the passengers and even the prisoners who could swim should jump overboard first, now, and get to land. And after that, the rest who could not swim should follow on some of the broken boards, planks from the ship, and others should follow on whatever they could find, on various things that were on the ship. And thus we are told in verse 44, it happened that the Lord made good on his promise. It happened according to his plan, and they all were brought through the danger, and they were brought safely to land. The God of the Apostle Paul had brought it to pass. He is the one who rescued them. He is the one who rescues us in the storms of our life. But in addition to that, he is the one who rescues us from the shipwrecks of our life. As some of us well know, we have made a mess out of our life. Our life is like a shipwreck. But don't fear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't despair. In his love, in his strength, in his mercy, he will hold on to us. He will guide us safely home for his honor, for his glory. So our heart stands in awe of him. Our heart stands in awe of his word. The sum of his word is truth, we're told in Psalm 119. We believe that he will deliver us. We believe that he will save us. So we can rest in his grace. We can rest in him. We can rest in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.